You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to say thank you for taking care of your pastor. It's the greatest thing that you can do is take care of you. I see Christians all over the world that don't understand how important it is to take care of their pastor. The greatest, you know, of course, Jesus is the greatest gift that God gave us, and it's going to be, what have you done with him? The next one is that pastor for the local church. You know, how God gives us the greatest gift to lead and guide, take us in, teach us how to operate in the kingdom we've been born into, and then many times churches just treat them like they can replace them or whatever. I'm going to tell you what, there is not anyone in the world right now that could pastor this church better than this couple right here. I'm telling you, because they are anointed. I know you appreciate them. I appreciate you for appreciating them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to have fun. Again, as I said, the neat thing about preaching away from home is they haven't heard your jokes. Amen. Of course, I got Marvin and Loretta Shipman sitting there, and of course, Chuck over here has probably heard, heard many of my jokes over the years. I enjoy serving God.
Amen.
You know, our motto, if any of you watch your television program, if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're doing it wrong.
That's right.
I lived it the other way so many years in my life, and I was broke, busted, and disgusted, and I just got tired of it, and I said, I'm not living this way anymore, and, you know, my God's not this way, and somehow I'm missing it. And then when I found out it was my fault, I was embarrassed, and I had to change some things around. But Chuck Perry is sitting right here. Years ago, Chuck walked into our church one Wednesday night. He's sitting back there, and I was teaching the Word, and I walked back at the end of service to say hello to him, and he said, let me ask you a question. And I said, all right. He said, you mean to tell me, what you're saying is that God's already done all this and all we have to do is believe it? And I said, that's pretty much the bottom line of it right there. And from there, Chuck took off, and great man of God, preached the Word. He's a good friend. I will tell you a joke right quick. I'm not going to take long. I'm going to stay with my notes tonight, so it won't be such a long message. I get off my notes and I get excited. But this is more of a truth than it is anything else. And our family, of course, Marvin and Loretta have heard me talk about this, but that's the way. My life was formed, a very great impact in my life was formed when I was 5 years old. And my dad, great man. My dad's the greatest daddy anybody ever had. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But my dad drove a moving truck for North American Van Lines. Back then it was called Frank Wolf in the Greenville area, if any of you grew up around here. And Dad would always bring us gifts and presents. When he came back off the road, he'd be gone 2 or 3 weeks at a time, moving people from one place to another. And so he came back and one time and he brought us a pistol, a toy pistol, and it was a solid aluminum. Now, when I say aluminum, most people think, oh, lightweight. No, solid aluminum.
Yeah, right.
It was a solid aluminum replica of a 1911 Colt 45. And it weighs pretty close to 22 ounces. Okay, so that's pretty much like many real guns. But anyway, it was carved just like that Colt 45. I mean, man, I have one of them now. I bought it at an antique toy store. I lost that one along the years, but I have one just like it that I keep that means so much to me. But our dad brought that back to us. I have a brother. Of course, I have a sister who is a great blessing to us in our church, and she's my secretary, and she's we, you know. We say, we gonna do this, and that's her too. But I have a brother who is 5 years older than I am, and when I was 5 years old, you know, it's hard to get a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old to play together. 10-year-old doesn't really want to play with the 5-year-old. And so we didn't always do that. And, of course, any time we did, the 10-year-old always wins, you know, because he's bigger and smarter and everything else. And so then, you know, he doesn't want to play with you anyway because you're a little kid. But if you cry enough, Mom will make him play with you, you know, and I'm sure. But anyway, we would always play, cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers, things like that. One time my brother would play with me, he always got what we called the real gun. And that was the one that my dad brought, the heavy, nice shaped, fashioned 45. And I got how many of you are over 50 years old remember Fanner 50? I had a Fanner 50, and a Fanner 50 was a pistol that you could do like that, but then it was a cap gun, and the side would always flop open, you know, and it was just cheap, mate. I mean, you could tell it wasn't a real gun, you know. I mean, it was just, but anyway, that's what, if you're going to get my brother to play with me, he'd have to get the real gun, and I had to do the Fanner 50, you know, and that kind of deal. Well, somehow, I don't know where this took place, but somehow, one time, Mother evidently made Joe play with me, and we were playing cops and robbers is what we were playing. And, of course, I ended up with the real gun. I don't know how. And he had the Fanner 50. And so that day I knew things were going to change for me, even at 5 years old, because I got to use the real gun. You know, and so we were playing in the house and hiding from each other and shooting and all of this, you know. And so it came to a point where he ran and hid and couldn't find him. Well, I was hunting him, and of course, he was the bad guy and I was the good guy. And I came around, and I remember even as a five-year-old, we lived in Greenville, Texas, and the refrigerator set in its own little cubby hole, and then there was a little, about this much space between the refrigerator and the cabinet, enough for a little guy to get in and hide. And so I came around that corner, and just as I came around that corner, I could see Joe hiding in that corner there. And I knew I had him. I knew it for the first time. For the first time, I knew I had him. And so, boy, I came around that corner, and he had his back turned. He was looking the other way, out the other side of that thing. And I came around the corner, and I jumped, and I said, "Bang, Joe, I shot you. You're dead." And he turned around and stood up and looked at me. And he said, "You can't kill me. I'm Superman." We're not playing Superman. We're playing cops and robbers. This is right. That's the way. And so for him to say, "You can't kill me. I'm Superman." I hit him over the head with the gun and knocked him out. I got a spanking for it, but didn't care. Because at 5 years old, I learned this. First of all, you got to be right. You got to be righteous. You got to be in the right line. You got to be doing. You've got to be right. Then you've got to have the right equipment. And then you've got to use it. And if you'll do those three things, you will win. You've got to be right. You've got to have the right equipment, and you've got to use it. Now, see, the word, we as Christians, we all know our Bible, and well, we should, because the just shall live by faith, and faith comes from that word. Amen? But the deal is, we pull a lot of Scripture out of context sometimes, you know, on different things. We like to use Romans 4:19 without using the rest of Romans 4, you know. "My God shall supply all my need according to His riches, glory by Christ Jesus." That's not yours if you don't do the rest of the chapter, okay? And so when we say, "Well, we'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." No, that's not what it says. Jesus said, "If." Amen. 2,700 times in the Bible, the word "if." If you continue in my word, then you're going to be disciplined. Then you're going to know that truth. Then that truth is going to make you free. Amen. And so that's the whole key to, we talk about set free, set free. You were set free when Jesus paid the price on the cross. Everybody in the world was set free. The price for everyone's redemption was paid at that moment. People were set free. But you have to continue in that word in order to be made free.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've got the right to be free, but there's a lot of Christians around the nation that are still, around the world, still living in bondage. Even though they've been set free. Prison doors unlocked, but they're still there.
Amen.
Because it's the word that makes you free. So I'm a person of the word. Amen. My job, I thank Brother Mike for talking about different people. It took me a long time to find me. I tried to be like everybody else because I loved the way everybody else was. I loved the way everybody else preached. I loved the way everybody else did. You know. But when I've got a hold of you, need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, don't think about this. That word salvation there, and I know with the pastor you've got, you've probably been versed in Greek and everything else. But well, listen, salvation there does not mean new birth. That means, that word means to be delivered from temporal evil. Okay? So, because you don't get to work out your own new birth. There's only one way. I don't care what Oprah says, there's only one way. Okay, don't get me wrong. I pray for her, but she's just a good woman heading in the wrong direction. Okay, but there's only one way to be enter into the kingdom of God. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you're in the kingdom and learning to operate in the kingdom, you got to work out your own salvation. You got to find what works for you.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. There are principles in this word. You're not gonna go against these principles. You can't just operate them any way you want to. But so many times we take the word of God and we turn it into a formula, and we forget the principle. How many of you know Charles Capps? Charles Capps is one of my favorite people. We love Brother Charles and Peggy, and they're just such a blessing to us. They haven't been in this year, but I'm embarrassed about that. But Brother Charles always tells a little story about the guy learning that you need to learn the difference between a principle and a formula. And he talks the story about the guy that was laying on the creek bank fishing, and this guy walked up and said, "Hey, man, is there any way I can get across, walk across right here anywhere?" And the fisherman said, "Well," he said, "I think if you'll go down there right about where those trees are out there, I think you can walk across there and get to the other side." And the guy said, "All right." So he walked off down there and stepped off in the water and went under. Started splashing, pulled himself out, came walking back. Oh, he was hot. He's fixing to jump all over the guy. He said, "Why did you tell me that I could go down there and walk across? I go down there, I nearly drowned, you fool. What did you tell me that for?" And the guy laying on the bank scratched his head. He said, "You know, I don't understand. I saw some little bitty ducks no taller than that go across there a while ago." See, if you've got the formula but you don't have the principle behind it, you're in trouble. So we need the principles behind the Word of God. We need to know not just what it says, but what it means.
Come on.
I lived a lot of my life, "Thou shalt not kill," really gave me a problem.
Sure.
I didn't know it said, "Thou shalt do no murder."
Right.
I thought it said, "Thou shalt not kill," because that's what the real Bible said.
Yeah.
King James. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I still use the King James. But we need to find out what it says. And so I want to share with you my way of doing things. This is what the Lord's given me. And, I really wanted to preach what I wanted to preach. I had a good message. I did. When Brother Mike called me months ago. And man, I was so excited. And I had notes laying on my desk. And I looked up there. And there was my notes on, "It's got to be a rhema." And I thought, ooh, that's it. That is it. People need to hear that. I love to share that with the body of Christ. It's got to be a rhema. Because it doesn't matter what this word says, if it never becomes a rhema to you, there's no power in it. It is the Word of God, and it's all powerful. But until it becomes a rhema, there's no power in it for me and you. The one word says, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account of in the day of judgment. Well, the word idle there means unemployed. The word there is the word rhema. So it's not just every little cuss word he's talking about. What he's talking about is every time you get a rhema, you've just been given a power. And if you will use that, it will operate in that situation that you're in right now. But if you don't, you're going to give account of that, not that day of judgment, in the day when this thing plays out that you're in. God's given you a way to get out of it every time.
Yes.
He's not leaving you in it to teach you something. He sent His Word to teach us. Amen? All right, so what we're learning is how to operate in the kingdom we've been born into. And let me just, what am I supposed to do here, brother? I mean, you told me to have my way, but I'll let my wife do. You tell me when I've gone long enough, okay? No. Did you see her? She was sitting there doing this right now. What's the deal? No, I'm just kidding. She wasn't either. I've quit telling jokes, so I'm going to get into it, all right? We're going to talk about... Let me see. Make sure I'm not supposed to say something else before I get off into this real quickly. We're going to talk about being enablers. You ever heard the word enabler? In our world, that's a bad word. People tell you all the time, "Well, now you're just enabling them. You're letting them go down that path they ought not go. You're just a helper. You're just an enabler. You're not supposed to be doing that." Well, let me tell you something. We have been created to be enablers. We are enablers. You can't get away from it. That's just the way it is. We're about to come out of a situation that the devil tried to steal a whole lot of money from us, and did steal some. But we're going to get reset on the thing. But when I talked to those of us that were in it, we talked to the state and different people. They said this: you Christians you're a target a lot of times. Because you want to believe. And you want to trust. And this is what the attorney for the state told me. She said, "You want to believe and you want to trust, and you're living in a world that's not trustworthy." I said, "Preach it, sister. I can understand that." You know? But that's what we do. But see, here's the deal. Satan's idea is to hurt you enough that you'll quit trusting people.
That's right.
That you'll quit believing. You know? And that's not the key. The key is for us just to make sure we're believing the right thing, trusting the right thing. You know? Okay? So as we learn how to be enablers, to enable someone to do something is just fine if you enable them to do the right thing.
Amen.
It's just that we've had a connotation on that word in our world that it's a bad thing. You know, you're just enabling them. It's like a mama. You know, a mama just, especially with her boys. Your mamas know. It doesn't matter what them boys do. Y'all just keep loving on them. You just forgive them. You just keep doing all that. They come and they, you know, there's a lot of boys around the world always been mama's boys. Never have been anything else but mama's boys. They need to grow up. But anyway, mama just takes care of them. Why? Mama's enabling them. Okay? Now that's a bad thing when you're taking it in the wrong direction. But when you learn you are an enabler, just like you are a believer, you're a trusting person. That's who you are. Okay? And so we're going to look at that. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture because the word's all I got, folk.
Amen.
Okay, I grew up with circumstance and situation. I grew up in church where, you know, we'd pray to God, then we'd look at the circumstance to see if He's answered it.
Yeah.
How He answered it, you know? And I didn't understand, no, that's not the way you look at it. You look at the Word, and if it's opposite of the Word, then you use the Word to change it.
Amen.
Okay? And so, as we learn how to enable, I want you to go with me. And how many Christians we got here?
Amen.
All right, well, I'm not going to tell you anything new. I don't think so. But I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about living in the kingdom. Now, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and I'm going to read just quickly as I can through some of these things. As I said, I'm going to try to stay right with my notes so I won't preach so long. But if I can enable you to operate in the kingdom you've been born into, that's what I do. People always kid me about the bale of hay and sitting out there. We were given the time on that first television station, and a year and a half went by and we never used it. Because I was working, boy, I was working. I thought, we're going to put us a kids program on that TV. That's what we need, is a kids program on that TV. And then I'd have people come and say, oh, Pastor, you need to be on there preaching. I said, get behind me, Satan. I don't want on TV. There's enough good preachers on TV and a lot of bad ones. I don't want on there. Okay? And so a year and a half went by, and the guy that gave me that time on the TV came one day. He said, you're burning preaching time, son. You're not using it. So anyway, my wife was saying, you need to be on TV. You need to be on TV. I don't want to be on TV. I don't want to preach. I'm just doing my thing. So she said, here's what you need to do. I said, darling, we don't need another church service as far as I'm concerned, because that's not me.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That whatever the Lord has you do, that's great. Yeah. But that's not me.
That's right.
And so she said, no, here's what you do. You grab your Bible, you go out to the ranch, you sit somewhere at the ranch, you turn the camera on, you teach people how to live. I said, well, I can do that. I mean, that's what I enjoy more than anything, is teaching people how to live. So for, 9 years now, I guess we've been doing that, and it's been such a blessing. Because my job is to teach people how to live.
Amen.
You know, if you're on your way to heaven, I don't have to teach you how to get to heaven.
Amen.
Right? I love teaching the body of Christ because we just got to find out what we've been born into.
Right.
Amen. We got to find out what the kingdom is all about. So anyway, all right, now I'm starting for sure. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 is a scripture you're very, very familiar with. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time preaching on some of these things. I'm just going to cover them and we'll go from there. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Or righteousness which is of faith talks like this. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? How does righteousness talk? It talks like this. It says the word is nigh you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to your salvation or to your deliverance from the temporal evils of this life.
Amen.
Okay? Your lack, the poverty, depression, all this other junk that's in the world that's not of you. It's just in this world. Okay? So with the heart, we believe. Now, very quickly, not to spend a lot of time there. You can't just make your heart believe. Your heart's a believing machine.
Yeah, that's
That's what it's designed to do, is believe. And it'll end up believing what you put in there, certainly. But you can't just all of a sudden say, heart, you believe every bit of that Word of God. You believe it. Right now, right now. Whew, I believe it all. Right? It doesn't happen. And the problem is we can only operate in what we believe. This is not a religion, it's a relationship. All right? So you can't make your heart believe, but you can make that next thing happen. You can make your mouth say. Right? You can't, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying your heart's not going to believe, because it's going to believe. But you can't just automatically say believe and make it believe. You want to, you know it's right, it should, because it's the Word of God. But when you get, you know, how many times you say, well, I'm trying to believe. What does that mean? You ain't believing yet. That's it. There's therefore now no condemnation. We're not going to get under condemnation. I love me. I'm not going to condemn me. Come on now. Amen. I was going to tell me, he's talking about those CDs and DVDs. You know, you get mine in DVD because you get more of the better effect. Can I get a witness? Thanks, bro. Okay. Anyway. With the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession's made to salvation. So that's when you have to get that mouth in gear, because the mouth getting in gear will bring about the heart believing. Because your heart wants to believe the Word of God. Okay? But faith cometh by hearing, not by having heard. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Okay. So, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So we're talking about being an enabler. And let me give you a little jump ahead here. We're going to learn how to enable God. We're going to learn how to enable God. Because I found out, I had this problem in the Bible. I kept seeing where God was able, but nothing was happening.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, well, if he's able, then the other thing is, if it ain't happening, he must not want to. And then I got to reading the Bible, and I found out that was wrong. And I found out that he really did want to. But somebody was in his way. That mean old devil. No, now I found out it wasn't the devil, because he's under our feet.
Yeah.
Somebody else was stopping him. And
yeah.
It was that woman that you get. No, it wasn't. You know. No, that ain't it. That ain't it, guys. We're going to find out how to enable God. All right, Luke 12:32. You can write it down. You don't have to turn there. Just say it with me. Fear not, little flock.
For it is the Father's good pleasure
to give you the kingdom. You have been given the kingdom of Almighty God. The kingdom, he said that you don't have to go out there. The kingdom of God's within you. Now, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That kingdom's in you. Everything that it produces is in you. Now, you know, that's why he said you don't have to say who's going to go into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who's going to get him from the deep to get him to do all this. It says the word's already there. All you have to do, okay? So for us to be enabled, then that's what we're looking at, is the kingdom dwells in us. I got to learn how to get the kingdom from in here, out there.
Right.
Amen? I need God super on my natural.
Yeah.
Not in the sweet by and by, but in the rotten here and now. Amen? That's what we need. We need to know how. Why? Because again, Christ in us is the hope of glory. We got to find out how to do this. All right? So, Romans 12:1-2, you know it as well as I know it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dying sacrifice, not a beat-down sacrifice, not a suffering sacrifice, a living sacrifice, which just means deliver it over to God. Amen? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, some of your translations say, which is your spiritual service. Then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Only one way you can be transformed, by renewing your mind. We got to think differently. See, if we're always thinking that kingdom out there, then we have to operate in that kingdom. Your life tends to go in the direction of your most predominant thoughts. All right? So what you and I have to do is we have to start thinking differently. I know you've heard message after message. I'm sure that man right there has preached you so many messages on renewing your mind. That's the only way to operate in the kingdom. And that's the only thing that's holding the child of God back. Well, I just know that whenever God wants me to have it, I'll have it. No. He said, renew your mind. That ain't the way it works. You've got to understand how to operate in the kingdom. Is that the way the kingdom operates? That we have to wait and see if God's going to do it? Well, you know, you never know what God's going to do. Well, you got a whole book in your lap right there of what he says. Why don't we try reading that thing every once in a while? You know, somebody said you've been given the last will and testament of your great Aunt Bessie. and all you had to do was read it to find out what was yours, you'd be burning the midnight oil. Amen. That's what we do. Well, this is the last will and testament of Almighty God. He placed the kingdom in us. We need to learn how to operate in it. And now here's some cute little things that God just kind of jumped in here. Go to 2 Peter. We will read this one together. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, and Peter. And 2 Peter is right after. I knew you knew that Bible. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How many of you want grace and peace multiplied to you?
Amen.
I mean big time multiplied. Grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied. Oh Lord, bring it on.
Come on.
Just multiply it to me.
Come on.
Come on, multiply the grace and the peace. I just need all I can get, Lord. Come on, Lord, I'm waiting on it. Wait a minute, how did he say you'd do it? Oh, through the knowledge of him. Oh, okay. So in other words, I got to know about it. If I don't know about it, I can't have it. If I don't know about it, I can't operate in it. So grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge. Now listen, knowledge, I see this all the time. Knowledge is power. Well, no, not really. Because you can know something and not apply it and never do you any bit of good. So knowledge applied can be power, right? All right, so grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Come on, Lord, with all things that pertain to life and godliness. Because the God kind of life, the godliness, all of that, I like stuff. I like to give away stuff. I like to receive stuff. I love this. Okay, that's about all this. Do you realize the covenant that you're operating in from that Father Abraham? You realize that was just simply a natural covenant? It was just stuff. It was flesh and blood stuff. It was real stuff. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him. God didn't get him born again. That covenant was a natural stuff covenant. Natural stuff covenant. You need to remember that. Okay, natural stuff covenant. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Oh, I have it now, Lord Jesus, send it. I want it. Well, what's the next few words? Oh, do what? Oh, through the knowledge of Him. I wish he'd quit putting that in there. I just want him to put it on me. But guys, he's already put it in us. It's in us. Okay? The only thing we lack is the knowledge of who it is that dwells in us and what He's put in us. Amen? I mean, we got to understand. Oh, man, I'm going to have to. I'm staying with it. Okay. Woo! According as divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to virtue and or glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. All right, so we're seeing if God's put the kingdom in us, and that, I mean, guys, this is the kingdom that's created, what, 150 billion galaxies?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, listen, the one that's created 150 billion galaxies has made Himself available to operate your checkbook.
Wow. Praise God.
Made Himself available to work on your health. Made Himself available to teach you how to live in this world. In fact, Jesus came here just to show us how.
Amen.
Right? I mean, not just that. You understand what I'm saying. But during that time, we saw how a kingdom person was supposed to live here. Right? All right, so that's the whole deal to it. Now, see, the problem is like in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many of you know this scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9. How many of you have a group in church? You know what it says. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. And when we get to the sweet by and by, we will know it all, my brothers. Woo! Is that what verse 10 said? What verse 10? What, how's verse 10 start? But what? But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Okay, we got a problem here in the body of Christ. God has said, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, and I'm going to show you how it works. I'm going to show you how I operate in it. I'm going to tell you where it is, and I'm going to reveal it to you by my Spirit. And the child of God said, is there another way you could do that? You know, could you just send me a feeling? Because, you know, if I can feel it, I'll believe it, Lord. Because, you know, seeing is believing. And He won't change. I can promise you. I've tried. I have come to Him with strong bawling and squalling. Much begging. Much pitiful looking. Lord. Much bargaining. Much reasoning. Lord, I promise. I know none of you have ever done this, okay? But, Lord, I'm telling you, for sure. For sure this time. If you will just do this, I will never. Did you hear me? I'll never. I won't even think that again. If you'll just do it. And He still won't do it. Why? Because He reveals it to us by His Spirit. That's what created this thing. That's how you and I operate. And we have to learn to operate in the kingdom by His Spirit that dwells in us. And we do it so many times. After the fact, something will happen. And you say, what do you say? You say, I knew that. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew that. Guess where it came from? Right in there. Why? Because He's trying to teach us how to live. Now, I'm getting to the enabler part, okay? All right, this is fun. Okay. All right, but you got that. Don't forget, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Don't everybody let anybody use 9 on you again unless they're going to use 10. Because, you know, as Christians, we put it all off to the sweet by and by. Oh, but you know, no, you got to have the 10. But He has revealed it to us by Spirit. He has taught us how to operate. He has taught us how to lay hands on the sick, see him recover. He's taught us how to get, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but Amen. He's taught us that stuff.
Amen.
Amen. We learned how to do that. Okay, all right, now. I'm going to show you some things. Because, you know, God can do anything. Because He's God. I have had well-meaning Christians look at me and say, yes, sir, I know that's what the Bible says, but. Yeah. Say, what? I know that's what the Bible says, but see, the Lord said to me. Ain't happening. It might have been the Lord, but it wasn't my Lord. It was that other, and you've been listening to the wrong guy, okay? No. Whatever this word says, this is the final authority in every situation. This is the only thing He can watch over to perform.
Amen.
Now, He'll watch over your word to perform it if you say what He says.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay. All right, here we go. Did I tell you where to go anywhere yet? All right. Go to Mark chapter 6. I bet I have not read a scripture yet that you hadn't already heard, right? I hadn't said anything that you hadn't already heard. We're just stirring up stuff and getting a hold of our spirit and thinking, goodness gracious. You know, again, we operate in heavy mercy in our church because we love us. We forgive us quickly. Amen. We find condemnation rolls off us like water off a duck's back. I'm telling you. You know, the devil comes in and says, you old filthy thing, look what you did. You did it. We'd say, the other night I preached a message called The Immutability of the Blessing. And I put a title on it like that because I couldn't spell. I couldn't. I didn't. Because the devil comes in and says, you're not going to make it. And I say, dummy. What do you mean I'm not going to make it? You think I'm doing this on my own?
Yeah,
no. You'll never have that. This is not going to happen for y'all. Devil, what is wrong with you? Because I couldn't spell that, so I just said the immutability of the blessing. Because His blessing doesn't change. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich. He adds no sorrow with it. Okay, where did I tell you to go? Mark. Well, let me get out of John and I'll find it. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. Mark 6 and we're going to do 5 and 6. Just very jumping off into it. And He could there do no mighty work,
save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because God would not let him heal there because he...
Oh, did your Bible not say it?
Oh. He marveled because the power was not available in him to heal these people. And
y'all are just messing up my message, okay? Didn't you teach people to agree?
With the word.
He could there do no mighty work, say he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their what?
Unbelief.
Did Jesus want to heal people?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
He was unable. Is this God?
Wow.
It's God. Yeah. But he's unable to heal these people. And he wanted to heal these people. Well, it's part of the covenant.
Sure.
They had a right to be healed. He wanted to heal, but he couldn't. He was unable. They had to make him able.
That's good.
They had to enable God to do what God wanted to do. And they only needed one thing to do that. They needed to believe. Isn't that cool? The neat thing, when they asked Jesus, you know, because Christians, we're always wanting to work the work of God. Lord, show me the work. What am I supposed to do? Show me the work. I'm a worker, God. Show me the work. So they came, Jesus said, show us the work of God. What's the work of God? Jesus said, believe on him whom God sent. That's too easy. Give me something else. Evidently, he hadn't been trying it. Because it's simple, but it's not easy. Right? So the work of God is to believe on him whom God sent. So that's how you enable God, is by believing. You've got to believe in order to enable. Because, well, let's don't turn that way. Psalm 78 that said they limited the Holy One of Israel? Whoa. Well, now, brother, we studied that in school. That God at that time, he was willing to let them suffer and you know, we just keep going on and on and on. Because his, for the greater good and for the perfect will of God to be done. Amen. Yes. It said they limited the Holy One of Israel. They kept him from doing it. They kept. All he wanted them to do was believe. Now, guys, don't give me wrong. I tell you, we're without excuse because he lives in us. I mean, those people, they didn't, you know, the Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God. They just knew the acts of God. Okay, we know his ways.
Yeah.
Well, now, brother, but the Bible says his ways are past finding out. In the Old Testament, they were. Christ in you, the hope of glory, changed all that.
Right.
We have the what? The mind of Christ?
Yes.
Amen. We just got to start believing. We got to start believing, woo, that the blessing is stronger than that curse. That's been our problem. We don't have time to go there. That's a whole different message. But if you start putting as much faith in the blessing as you do in the curse, you'll start increasing in every area of your life. Okay, let's jump off into this. Oh, man, this one right here is kind of tough. Luke 10:2. I thought Rance was going to get my message this morning when he was preaching. Man alive. See, I always had a problem with this one, growing up in church. Because, see, I'm kind of a simple guy, and I just think simply. I went to all 12 years of school, Cattle Mills Independent School District. Learned all I could right there. Even went to a couple of years of college. But I'm still pretty simple, you know. I try not to put on airs and display my education all over the place, you know. But I always like to ask, why? And in church, they never would let me ask why. Because, I mean, I remember one time as a young minister, I taught on Noah and the Ark. And I had a deacon of the church come up. I was a youth minister. I had a deacon of the church come up and tap me on the shoulder and said, oh, brother, that's a little deep where you're going there. And I thought, all right, I got deep. Didn't have a clue what he's talking about. Still don't to this day. You know, don't. But it's deep, whatever it was. And I wasn't supposed to do it in my church. And I can understand if I didn't know what it was, they probably didn't want me teaching it because I wasn't deep enough to know what I was teaching. Okay? But the whole key to this thing was I couldn't ask why.
Because it was all understand it better by and by, because we lived off every song in the song book, but with the Word of God, we just kind of chunked out.
Yeah.
I know none of y'all have ever been there, but we did.
Yeah.
But when we found out the Word said different, we want to find out. Okay, Luke 10:2 says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Did I get the right scripture?
Yeah.
And the labor's a few. Pray you, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into that harvest. This was my deal. If God wants laborers sent forth into the harvest, won't He just send them?
Right. Yeah.
Did anybody ever think that way?
Yeah.
I did. It just didn't make sense to me. Okay, if He wants them sent, unless this is a game, unless we're puppets, and so we just have to act out this thing, if He wants laborers, He's God. Everybody's always saying He can do anything He wants to do anytime He wants to do it.
Sure.
Won't He just send them? I didn't know the authority of man back then. I didn't know. I did not know. Let me just jump and cover a couple of scriptures. I didn't know. I know your pastor preaches the book of Revelation. I've listened to a little bit of it. This man's wonderful doing that. I don't get much in the book of Revelation. I don't teach it much. But I'm going to use a scripture out of there tonight so I can say
yeah.
I taught in the book of Revelation.
Go for it, man. You do it.
Amen. Well, I think about this. No, I'm not even going to go there taking too much time. Forget that. No, I ain't going to do it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You got to have a covenant and you got to get it out of your mouth or it's not going to do you any good. Okay? Now, but in Thessalonians, it tells us, he's talking about Jesus coming. Tell me if I'm right on this, Brother Mike. He's talking about Jesus coming, but he says, evil, the Antichrist coming. But he said, that can't happen because he who now lets will let
yep.
till he be taken out of the way.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, if he's letting, I mean, if you let somebody, you're letting them. You know, and then when I got into the Word, I found out, how can that word let mean withhold? That's what it means.
Yeah.
Our word let don't mean withhold.
Right,
that means let. But it meant withhold. And so when you study it out, he who now withholds is going to withhold, keep this from happening until he be taken out of the way. Guess who that is?
Come on.
That's us.
Come on.
That's us.
Yes.
All right, give you another one. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had gone to God over Lot, all this situation, right?
Yeah.
All right, Lot's coming out with the angels. The angel says to Lot, hurry and get you out to Zoar or Little because I can do nothing till you're out of here. I beg your pardon? I thought God was doing this. How come we're waiting on this man? Because he's the enabler.
That's good. That is good.
He's the enabler. Do you realize how much prize God puts on me and you?
That's good.
Oh, my goodness. Very quickly, I'm going to jump off. Listen. I know you've heard this story as well as I have, but a friend was telling this story. He'd gone to another country, and he said, this country, he said, the only way I can describe it to you is beige. Beige, brown, tan. Okay? He said there was no grass. There was no nothing. We were in the shambles in this place down the main street of this country in one of the major cities in this country, and he said it was beige. Oh, there was nothing there. And he said, just flies and heat and nothing. And he said, as we walked in, he said, but when you got to the end of this street in this thing, he said, you looked right down this street, and at the end of this thing, and these all these dilapidated buildings and all this mess and all this, he said, at the end of that was the most beautiful building you ever saw. And he said, around that building was green grass and columns and a fence. And guards standing there in uniform. And he's looking, he's saying, whoa, what is that? And they said, oh, that's the American Embassy.
Wow.
And he said his first thought in his mind was, I can't believe we've got something like that in this country when these people are so destitute. And then he said, immediately thought, that's mine. That's where I live.
Yeah, come on.
That comes from the kingdom I live in.
Yeah.
And it's here in this country. But I,
oh,
it's not drawing its wealth from this country. It's drawing it from the kingdom that it represents. He said the more he thought about that, the more excited he got. He said he didn't care what people thought. That's where I'm from, right there. I'm right there. That U.S. Embassy, that's mine. All right? That's where, see, the kingdom you got living in you, no matter what dollar, gas, $4 a gallon, what's all big mess out there, you're from that kingdom. You get to operate in that kingdom. You get to draw from that kingdom. But the thing is, you've got to enable your God. Oh, let me get into this first. You got to understand, you got to believe and know without a doubt, God wants to bless you like you've never been blessed in your life. He took great delight in giving you the kingdom. He gave you everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. He raised you up, made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? He's done all of this. But yet, a lot of children of God are walking around with nothing. Their lives are messed up and everything else. And we want to, well, you know, one of these days. My God. One of these days. How about now? How about we learn how to get that kingdom out of us and onto this situation right now? Okay? And I'm going to hurry into that. Okay? All right, Ezekiel 37, y'all know this as well as I do, but look at it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Teach children the books of the Bible. Sister Sylvie McCaston taught me the books of the Bible when I was 7 years old. I never forgot them. I can say them all. And it's helped me. I never thought I'd use it, but I use it every day of my life now. Amen. All right, Ezekiel 37. Brother Mike, am I Darlene? One of you. Okay, okay. I didn't do it. Okay. Anyway, 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out, and the Spirit set me down in the midst of the valley full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley. Look, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, Why, you're gone. I don't know. Come on now.
Yeah.
You've been there.
Yeah.
Lord, if you don't do something about this, they're going to go under. We're not going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. What? Good job, dude. Give me five. Hey! All right. All right, we got it now, right? Cool. Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy upon these bones. And I said unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then he goes on, and the Lord would say, prophesy. He'd say, so I prophesy. What's he doing? He's enabling God.
Yeah.
He said, well, oh, I think God wanted to show up and show him his power. Well, it's funny, he didn't do anything until the man prophesied.
That's right.
He had to have somebody with enough guts to activate the kingdom. So he prophesied. He said what God said he was going to do. And guess what? God did it, didn't he? He enabled God. Why? We know the authority of man. We know God made this earth for man. We know that he delivered it into our hands. We know that's why it's in such a mess.
Right.
I love to tell people that when they say, well, now, brother, God's got it all under control. I say, do you think anything God's in control of look like this?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Do you think anything God can control of would run like this thing runs? No. Look at heaven. He's in control there. It runs good.
Yeah.
That ain't here. Man's in control here. And man's messing it up. But he will be in control anything that his man or his woman, when they use the kingdom to function out into this world, it'll all start working right and turn it around. Okay? All right, now. Ezekiel enabled God, okay? Now, don't turn there, because listen, Isaiah 45 and 11. Just write it down. Don't be turning pages. We have time to go there. We got to round this up, okay? Isaiah 45 and 11. God said this, concerning the work of my hands, command thou me.
Yes.
What? Concerning the work of my hands, command thou me. You have got to be kidding me. Well, my dear, I'm just going to start telling God what I want done. If it's in that word and he said you can do it, then you can do it. If it ain't in that word, you can't develop the faith to get it.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about getting it in the ditch on the other side. The faith's right there. If the faith ain't there, if the Word doesn't say it, you can't have it anyway. But He said, concerning the work of my hands, command thou me. In other words, turn me loose. Turn me loose. Enable me. Let me do in your life what I want to do.
Praise God.
He said He put us over all the work of His hands. I mean, you know, that storm's coming your way. You don't want to be coming your way. God don't want it coming your way. He didn't send it. The devil's the prince of the power of the air. So what do? You speak to the storm.
Amen.
Command the Word of God. Turn him loose.
Yes.
Let him go. Now you got to know what He says about it. You can't just know the formula. You got to know the principle behind it. All right? Okay. Turn me loose, He's saying. Ephesians 3:20. Somebody used it 7 or 12 times a day, I think. That's the one that says, now, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask, think, according to what? According to what? The power that what? That works in us. Oh, man, it's back to us again? Come on. You mean I still got to enable Him? Isn't there a time when He's just going to do it all Himself? Yeah, it's called heaven. He put man in charge here. So you're going to have to loosen, dissolve, and undo the work of the devil's here. But you don't have the power without it. You got the authority, but the authority without power is not any good. But God wants you to enable Him.
Yeah.
Let me work. And most Christians spend all their time trying to let God work to make them be good.
Bye-bye.
We spend all our life. I spent 55 years trying to be good, and I ain't made it yet. I just skipped out on the first floor. I didn't think it mattered. Right over you, didn't it? No, listen, I found the neatest scripture in the Word of God. After all those years of growing up in religion, giving up everything I could give up except water and breathing. Okay? So God would accept me, so He'd be happy with me, so I'd be good. And I saw that scripture when they said, good master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you calling me good for? Ain't nobody good but God. Okay. Well, here's my little mind working. Okay, if Jesus ain't good, then no sense me trying. Okay? If good ain't His big deal, then it can't be my big deal because, whoa.
Yeah.
Right? Why call you me good? There's one good but God. Why? It's all about Him.
Amen.
Not about us. It's for us, but it's about Him. Yeah. It's His goodness, His mercy.
Right.
His. Oh, okay. Anyway. He's saying, turn me loose. But it's according to the power that works in us. Hebrews 1:12 says He upholds all things by the word of His power, or the power in His word. Okay? How do we turn Him loose? With His word. It's the only way He can be turned loose. It's the word. You've got to put the word out there. You've got to say what the word says. You, and it has to be you, because you are the enabler. You are the ambassador. You're the one that belongs in that kingdom that built that mansion. So you have to do it. All right, I'm going to come in for a landing here real quick. Ephesians 4. Philippians 4, excuse me. Hard into Ephesians. Child of God, I mean, we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's just simply through the knowledge of Him. We've got to find out how to do it. And it's real easy. I'm going to make it easy for you here at the end. I'm going to make it simple. Big difference between simple and easy. Right? Simple's, I mean, you understand it. But easy is getting it done is not easy.
Yeah, right.
Okay? Because we have to do all the things that the Word says. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, brother, I want the peace of God that passes understanding. I want it to rule my heart and mind. I've been praying for it for days. I believe I'm going to get to a place where God is going to just miraculously put on me that peace that He said passes all understanding. I'll just be so peaceful, I won't even know why. I mean, things will be going on around me, and I won't even know it. I'll be walking in the Spirit. I'll be like 6 inches off the ground. I'll just be floating because God will put His peace on me. Passes understanding. People say, how can you be so peaceful? You say, you just don't understand. That's kind of... But there was a... we kind of skipped over that first part that I read.
Yeah.
He said, be careful for nothing. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. You mean the way I turn him loose to put that peace on my life is I got to stop worrying? Could get another scripture, maybe that was a little hard. You know, because me and my family has been worriers. We're champion worriers. I mean, we worry about everything. We worry when we can't figure out what we're worried about. Well, how about the peace? Oh, yes, Jesus, send the peace. It's right in there.
Amen.
And he needs to be enabled. But since you and I are in charge here, there are things we got to do for God to do his thing. Just like Jesus could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief.
Right.
And what did it say he did? He went about their villages teaching. Because teaching is the only antidote for unbelief. It's the only antidote for unbelief. So he marveled at their unbelief and he went about their villages teaching. He didn't go about their villages healing. Now he did heal. But what was his answer to enable himself and his God to be able to operate and get that kingdom operate? He had to teach people the Word of God. He had to teach them how to operate in it.
Amen.
Okay. Obedience to the Word always enables God. Amen? How do we enable God? Just what it just said. Our everyday blessing ought to be somebody else's miracle. Let me say that over here. Our everyday blessing ought to be somebody else's miracle.
Amen.
We ought to be enabled God. I mean, do you realize? I mean, think about this. And some of you may be in this situation. If somebody walked up and handed you $500, it'd change your life.
Yeah.
And you could be in that situation. There are thousands, there are millions of people in that situation. Okay? And you walk up there with the Lord's direction, and you do that, and your everyday blessing turns into their miracle. You just enabled God. You just did. You know, it's not just always preaching. Certainly, I'll let you preach to me, but if I'm in need, you have to do something for me. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now. And that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. You know, if you see somebody in need and you say, oh, brother, in the name of Jesus, be warmed, be blessed, be healed, be clothed, be fed. See you later. He said, you ain't done anything. You hadn't enabled God. Well, yes, Brother Butch, I prayed the Word of God on them. No. Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's good. All right, here's some easy ones. I mean, this is simple. This is how to activate the kingdom. This is how to be an enabler. Somebody talked about Luke, Sister Lou talked about Luke 6:38 today. You want to enable God to give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? No, you don't have to pray for an hour and a half. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fast for a week for that. Well, you do. You give.
Yeah,
why? Because, see, God's just saying, turn me loose. Give me the right.
Amen.
What is your tithe and offering? When Malachi 3 says, will a man rob God?
Right.
Do you think God's concerned about... He's got streets of gold and gates of pearl and the whole city is full of gold. Yep. You think he's worried about your $250?
Right.
No. You think that's going to bankrupt him? Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to send that missionary over there this week, but... Just didn't enough money come into heaven this week, so tell them, send them the word. No, that's not what he's talking about. No. Why? He's wanting to be enabled.
Yeah.
And his word says that when we tithe, of course, we're living the blessing all the time, guys. Think about it. But that tithe opens the windows of heaven, pours you out a blessing not room enough to receive, rebukes the devourer for your sake, does all of that. When you and I, if we don't know... When other people don't tithe, because we tithe.
Yeah.
Okay? I can't afford not to tithe.
Amen. Come on.
Okay? I don't have to tithe. I get to tithe.
Yes.
Okay? Now, when people do not tithe, the God that wants to bestow increase on their life is handcuffed.
Come on. That's exactly
right.
Because they didn't enable him. What are they robbing him of? The greatest desire that he has, and that's to bless his children. He's not able to do it because we didn't become enablers. And the world and half the Christians out there think the preacher's trying to get your money from them, when any one of them, any preacher out there that's got any sense about him is a tither and a giver and understands you're enabling God when you act out what his word says.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Huh.
You want to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, amen, Jesus. Send it on me now. I'm believing for it. I fasted 3 days. Amen. I want to spend my days in prosperity, my years in pleasure. And God's saying, enable me.
Yeah.
I want to do this for you. Amen. Enable me.
Yeah.
So how do I spend my days in prosperity, my years in pleasure? He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you obey and serve Him. Was it Job 36, 10, 11? If, Job 36 and 10 says, I'll go there, I can't quote it. But he says he makes them listen to discipline. Oh, go there. I'm sorry, I'm taking a little long. I'm 10 minutes away. Quitting. Stopping anyway. All right. Where did I tell you to go? Job? Job 36. Let's see if that's it. I think that's it. Oh, look. This messes up so much religion right here. Job 36 and 10. He opens also their ear to discipline.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought God chastised you. The Bible says if you don't have chastising, you're not even His son.
Yeah, but see, God said His way of instruction and correction and reproof and all of that is His Word. I don't really understand Him. He thinks because He created the universes with it, it's big enough to handle your life. I don't know where He gets that. But anyway. He openeth also their ear to discipline. What does that mean? He's telling you what to do. That's how God disciplines His children. His Word. His Word. That's how He turns us loose. That's how we get to turn Him loose in our life. Is His Word. He opens also their ear to discipline, and He will command you that you return from iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
And He said, if you'll do that, if you'll obey and serve Him, you get to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Why? Well, He told us very plainly. He said, I lead in the paths of righteousness and judgment that I may cause those that follow me or love me to inherit substance.
Yes.
In the whole Christian world, we spent all of our time thinking God was trying to keep us from being bad. We're created unto good works, not by good works. Okay? But if we obey and serve Him, we spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Or He said, I'll make you rich. God's wanting to be enabled. And you and I are the only ones can do it. In your life, the number one question, the most important one that Jesus said to anybody ever, when He looked at the boys and He said, who do people say I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Isaiah, some Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? That's all that matters. Not who the church says He is as a whole. It's who do you say He is. You know, if you say, He is the Lord, my refuge. He's my God. In Him I trust. He said, turn me loose. I can do it for you. I can do it. He is my financer. My God supplies all my need. Why? Because I've given and it's given unto me. And He said, I'm turned loose. I can do it. But see, He has to have enablers. Well, God can do anything He wants to do. No, Jesus taught us that isn't true. We already looked at it. He wanted to heal those people. He couldn't because of their unbelief. And I've heard preachers preach that. Well, brothers, you know, God, you know, just didn't give them light at that time to believe. We were really stupid. I was anyway. Come on. Just to not question. You know, I mean, the cool thing about... Okay, they're on the boat going to the other side. Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the other side. We're going into Gadara. They're fixing to change that whole countryside over there. The devil knows they're going over there. He brings up a storm, tries to kill them. The boys come in. They say, don't you care that we're about to drown? And he gets up, walks out on the bow of the boat. He says, peace! Be still. Where's your faith, boys?
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
What? What kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They missed the whole thing. He said, where is your faith?
Yeah.
Well, now, that'd be a pretty unrighteous person to look at those guys and say, where's your faith, if he was the only one that could do anything about it?
Right.
He tried to let them know, you're loosed. And God can be loosed by you. You are enabled and you are an enabler. All you have to do is obey what the Word of God says. Because look, we don't have to make the Word of God come about. You don't have to protect the Word of God. You don't have to defend the Word of God. All you have to do is agree with the Word of God. But see, we're thinking, well, if this doesn't happen, what will they think of God? No. Me. Yeah, I got to make this happen. No, you can't make it happen. You are just simply the enabler. You are the one that lets God operate through you. He's the power. Amen. So as a child of God, that's all we have to do is learn how to enable our God. Because He is well able. Amen. There's no small portion of Him anywhere. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But then He put the rest of that verse in there. According to the power that works in us. It's at work in us, actually, is what the original translation says. It's at work in us. Then why didn't it come out, Brother Butch? Because we're walking around saying, I don't think God ever do that for me. I know He did it, Brother Mike and Brenda, but I don't think He ever did it for me. You know, you're turning the person loose, but it ain't God. You've got to enable, because all the universe is standing, listening to what you're about to say. Because by your word shall you be justified. By your word shall you be condemned. Yes, right. You have to understand, you are the enabler. Yeah. And I didn't even get over into the negative side. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
You enable good or bad. Why did Jesus, He said, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will bring forth what's good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, will bring forth what's evil. Because why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we don't, you know, most of our, as children of God, a lot of our lives we've been spent enabling the wrong guy. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I'd like to have that, but I'll never have that. We never had anything. My family didn't have none. I never had nothing. Uh-huh. Boom. It's legal right there. Yep. Done deal.
Yep.
You just enabled that to happen.
Yeah.
What I enabled to happen? For you to have nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
All the time you're living in the kingdom that produces all of it. And God is not withholding. You know, in church, guys, we've used it. Well, you know, in God's time. Most of the time, people live their whole life dying and go to heaven. That's God's time for them because they never got anything done here. God loved them. But they never enabled Him to do anything in their life. And we stand around saying, I'm just waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
No, He's ready. Bible says He takes off in the middle of a shout. He's ready to go. He's wanting to do something. Amen? He needs us because He put us in charge. Amen? He put us in charge. That was His only problem, is He decided to deal with flesh. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. The devil is so terrified. That last thing. I've already shut my Bible, but this is the last thing. If you ever remember those little movies Brother Copeland made years ago, the Westerns?
Oh, yeah.
In one of those movies, Wichita Slim got hit on the head and he forgot that he was a good guy. And you kids, oh, shake your head. Our kids can sit there and do every word with them, boy. I mean, they knew, okay. Wichita Slim, he was running with the bad guys, but he had his Bible. And he couldn't get away from it. And every day he'd go over and pull that Bible out and he'd start reading it. And one of the lines in that movie was one of the greatest lines I've ever heard. The outlaw, the head of the outlaws, told one of his guys, he said, get that Bible away from him. He said, well, how come? He said, because if he keeps reading it, he's going to find out who he is.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Keep reading it, you're going to find out who you are.
Right.
Remember, let's make it simple. The Old Testament had a blessing and a curse. New Testament, got a blessing. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. What? That the blessing of Abraham, all that natural blessing, might come on the Gentiles through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have what? The promise of the kingdom, the promise of the Spirit through faith. We're enablers. God chose you. You can do it.
Yeah.
This is the whole system. This is the way He set it up.
Yeah.
The devil, the only thing the devil can do is convince you that you can't do it and that God won't listen to you when all along he's standing there saying, turn me loose.
Yeah.
Just say what I said. Just like Ezekiel. Ezekiel, prophesy. Talk to those bones. Tell them what I said. Tell them what I said. And you mean you said, lack, you're out of here. You're not coming into my life. Money, come. Me, now, mine. Just leave out, you know, the verbs. Just now. Just get it in there. Right? You know what he said? Talk to your mountain. Why? He's wanting to be turned loose. You've got to enable him. I'll quit. Thank you. Thank you so much.